The text is the gospel reading from St. Mark. Jesus says, "But in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens." Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will not, certainly not, pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Here ends our text. Alexander the Great literally conquered the world in his 30s. He died at age 33. I read in a book of sermon illustrations that he instructed that when carried to his grave, his hands were to be open and left dangling from the stretcher so all could see, "You can't take it with you." I think that story's made up. Besides, according to our text, there is one thing you can take with you. One thing you had better take with you. There is another thing, like it or not, that is going to go with you right up till your end or the end. It's this generation. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened." This one sentence has sparked much debate and even more misunderstanding. Some say this generation refers to the generation alive when Jesus speaks these words in 30 AD. That would then mean that all that Jesus says in Mark 13 would have happened around 70 AD. But the sun wasn't darkened then. The moon didn't fail to give its light then. The stars didn't fall from the sky then. Nor were the heavenly bodies shaken then. Some have argued that in a figurative, poetic way, they did when Jerusalem was totally destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. But still, Jesus didn't return then and gather those elected for salvation from the four corners of the earth. So, all these things did not happen before the generation Jesus was speaking in passed away. We have to look at how Jesus uses the phrase, "this generation," elsewhere. In Mark 8:12, Jesus castigates this generation for always seeking a sign. In 8:38, he calls this generation adulterous and sinful. In 9:19, Jesus calls this generation faithless. The phrase, "this generation," occurs four times in Mark and nine times in Luke, and it always refers to unbelievers. This generation denotes a certain kind of people, unbelievers, not a span of time. The type of people that rejected the prophets, John the Baptist, and finally the Christ, are going to be in the world to the very end. Like it or not, these do not pass away. They will go with you to the very end. The world is not going to be converted to Christianity. Abel's will always have Cain's, Jacob's their Esau's, David's their Saul's, and Zion her Babylon. The church, Christians, must not wring their hands or worry their hearts, thinking if they just did this or that differently, then all the world would believe. No, the unbelieving generation will not pass away until all these things have happened. The angels have gathered the elect, and the stars, moon, and sun have failed. You can't take the unbelieving generation with you, but it goes with you till the end. Another thing you can't take with you past your end or the end is heaven and earth. Jesus says simply and solemnly, "Heaven and earth will pass away." Do you live as if this is the truth? I don't. I live directly opposite to how St. Paul advises based on these words of Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 4, Paul says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I don't do that. I fix my eyes on what is temporary and what is passing away and what is always moving. No wonder I have spiritual seasickness. Physical seasickness happens when you can't find a fixed point to focus on. Once you're able to find a point that doesn't move, seasickness subsides. I give myself spiritual seasickness by trying to focus on the ever-passing away world with all of its ups and downs and all of its frenetic activity. One minute, this is a crisis. The next, this is. One digital nanosecond, this is the latest trend. The next, something else is. One report says I'm dying because I eat fat. The next says I'll live longer if I do. It's like standing on the deck of a ship and rolling waves. It's like trying to follow a mouse that's running around your kitchen. Some people never get sick of the rolling deck, never get tired of the constant motion. They thrive in this environment because all this movement, all this activity, all this energy pushes away the thought that all of this is temporary. All this will come to an end. Evolution is not right. The material things have not always been here. There was a beginning for them, and there's going to be an end of them. Those in love with the movement, the action, the activity of this passing world will in the end be like the man who reaches out to grab a tree limb only to find that it can't support him. There's the sickening moment when you realize that what you thought was strong enough, permanent enough to hold you, is not. But that's not you. If you haven't expected the temporary to be permanent, you can rejoice that heaven and earth is going to pass away. Place a big sign on sadness, sorrow, sickness, pain, and death that reads, passing away. Put passing away on all the movements, all the fads, all the trends that revel in their open flaunting of God. Put passing away on the movement that crows about their right to choose to kill babies in the womb. Put passing away on gay marriage, living together, premarital sex. Put passing away on universalism, Islam, Judaism, Buddhism, and Hinduism too. Stop acting like these are like any of these are permanent. Treating the immaterial ideas and isms of men as permanent is just as foolish as treating the physical heaven and earth as such. You should see stenciled on both the physical and immaterial things of this passing world what the military does on their equipment. They stencil at various places, no foothold, no step. You can't find a firm place to stand on any of the things of this passing world. More importantly, you don't have to. There is one thing you can take with you. One thing you had better. Jesus' words. Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. We no more believe the second half than the first half, do we? One little squeak from science, psychology, or popular opinion, and we think the words of Jesus come tumbling down. Scientists say, psychologists, or better yet, child psychologists say, and the majority surveyed say, well, these are the authorities in a post-biblical world. Jesus says, well, that seems weak, naive, Sunday schoolish. Guess what? In the end, Jesus' words is the last one standing. What he says about sin carries the day. Though some scientists can make moral problems into medical ones, do you think that means they're not sinful? Because psychologists can declare sex outside of marriage healthy, do you think that's the truth? Do you think because 9 out of 10 people surveyed don't think something is a sin, that's true in the end? On the last day, or on your last day, you're going to be weighed, judged, graded by the words of Jesus, not the words of men. Ignore the words of Jesus now. Make fun of the words of Jesus today. Do you think that because you can ignore, interpret, or ridicule these words that will make you not guilty on your last day? Get this through your head. What counts is not what I say Jesus' words mean or what you say Jesus' words mean. What counts is what Jesus says. And he says we are all lost and condemned people. There's none righteous, no, not one. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. All of this will pass away. Jesus' words will never, ever, no, not ever, pass away. His words will always condemn your worry. His words will always convict you of misusing it when you shape it according to your opinions. His word will always convict you, judge you, sentence you for not hearing it preached and taught. You can successfully shut out Jesus' words now because they come to you in a weak-looking Bible, challenged by science, rejected by psychology, and made fun of by the majority. But on your last day, they will come to you without means. Then those words will be like deep thunder, like crashing surf, like a blaring trumpet. And all who've rejected them, interpret them away, or laughed at them, will pee their pants and beg Jesus no longer to speak to them. But that's not you. The words of Jesus are what rescued you from your unbelief, your misbelief, your despair, and your other great shame and vice. The words of Jesus came and found you when you sought him not. Perhaps they found you when you were just a baby. The word added to the waters of baptism reborn you to a new life. Your unbelieving old Adam right there was drowned. It was joined to the crucified body of Jesus. And a new man was reborn, perfect and holy, just as Jesus was. And just like the perfect Jesus, this new man no longer lived on bread alone, but by every word coming out of the mouth of God. Take this word of Jesus with you as you journey through this world that is passing away. Only Jesus' words can bespeak you holy, righteous, forgiven. Do not try to find your holiness in what you do or don't do, what you can excuse, or your silly promises to do better next time. Only Jesus' words can send your sins away from you as far as east is from west. Only Jesus' words can throw your sins behind the back of God, never to be seen again. Only Jesus' words can blot up your shameful sins of thought, word, and deed, because Jesus' words are stronger, thicker, richer than sin. Jesus says his words will never pass away. So we are not foolish for paying attention more to them than to the words of scientists, psychologists, politicians, or the masses, all of which are passing away even as I speak. We are not fools for studying it, hearing it, living by it, dying by it. We are not fools for saying that this bread is his body, this wine is his blood. We are not fools for believing this is the very body he gave over on the cross to pay for our sins, and this is the very blood he shed there to cover our sins. Why aren't we crazy? Because that's what Jesus' word says. Take these words of Jesus with you. They don't expire. They don't go bad. They don't lose power. They're more powerful than sin, than death, even than the devil. They last longer than heaven, than earth, and even longer than your earthly life. No, you cannot take any of this with you. But that word first applied to your body, that word that absolved you today, and that word that you will eat and drink for forgiveness and everlasting life, does go with you, never ever to pass away. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.